The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There's something very soothing, although Leo would probably disagree, but also relaxing about the living waters of baptism. There's also something very soothing and relaxing simply by living by the water. From small ponds to oceans to beachfront property to creeks to rivers, water has a mesmerizing effect on many of us. It's easy to get away from it all when you're near the water. That is, until storms hit and the water rises and the potential for disaster increases. Hurricane Katrina, the tsunami of 2004 are but examples of the destructive power of water. One thing that people who live near the water agree on is that preparation is essential. Have an escape route planned. Know what to do in the house if water starts to come in. Be prepared for the worst. Today, we're focusing our thoughts on Jesus' baptism and our life in Christ. Many of us know, or at least were told, of our own baptism and the life-giving imagery of the baptismal ceremony. "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Baptism, in a sense, helps us prepare for the worst life can and will throw at us in the years ahead. Regardless of the storms that rise around us, we are called to remember that we are in Christ and that we are baptized. Mark tells us that John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people came from all over the Judean countryside and from Jerusalem to hear his message, confess their sins, and be baptized in the Jordan. John also proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Leo, that's the gift that you don't know anything about, but Mom and Dad are surely going to tell you as you grow. You have the gift of God's Holy Spirit within you. When John baptized Jesus, a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." I didn't hear that voice today, but my faith tells me it was present, and God clearly spoke as we celebrated this wonderful sacrament. But because we didn't hear the words, and because Jesus was perfect, questions have surrounded his need for baptism over the years. Christians agree that Jesus didn't come to be baptized for forgiveness of sins, for he was the one and only sinless human being. Nor do we believe that Jesus was baptized only to initiate this beautiful sacrament. So why was Jesus baptized? Many answers have been suggested, but I'm going to only speak to three possible reasons for Jesus' baptism. The first one is this. The pronouncement by the Father was a strong affirmation for John and for all who heard it that life on earth had taken a dramatic turn and that Jesus was not just a Galilean peasant. You are my son, God said. And when God talks, everybody listens. The second reason for Jesus' baptism, Mark says, that the very next thing for Jesus after his own baptism was right out into the wilderness. Time spent in the wilderness all alone. Now, Luke records the temptations in detail, but Mark simply says Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days tempted by Satan. Whichever way you want to read that, surely the affirmation by God was a source of strength and comfort as Jesus endured the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual trials in the wilderness. And the third possible reason for Jesus' baptism, Mark records that upon returning from the wilderness, Jesus began his public ministry. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. The affirmation was essential. The affirmation was needed so that people might believe that the kingdom of God had come near, with God saying, "This is my son, my beloved." Throughout the next 3 years, Jesus lived through incredible joys, but he also lived through incredible disappointments, great loneliness, and great pain. Yet through it all, he surely remembered the Father's words. "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." Do we remember those words in our difficult times? Certainly, one of the life goals for most, if not all, Christians is to hear the Father say to us, "You are my child, my beloved. With you I am well pleased." Well, in a real sense, God says this at our baptism. We also, as God says at our baptism, that is, and that's just the beginning of life lived in relationship with him. Here's where the journey of getting to know God starts. Yes, we spend many years in our childhood developing knowledge about God, but this is where the beginning starts, to know God personally, to know and believe that faith says we are inheritors of the kingdom, we are God's children, we are his beloved. It begins right here as it did with Leo today. We also look forward to the day when we see God face to face, and we hope to hear those words once again. Or as Jesus said in the parable of the talents, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. Enter into the joy of your master." If we compare this relationship to marriage, the baptismal relationship to marriage, just as saying "I do" is the beginning of a lifelong commitment, so our baptism, as wondrous as it is, or was, represents only the beginning of a relationship with God that will never end. Now, I like to say that differently. I like to say that God is having a relationship with us all, individually, one-on-one, and only God can do that. We may not know that sometimes. We may forget it at times. We may separate ourselves from, but God does not stop having that relationship with us. And only God can do that. has individual loving relationship with all his children and desires for us to know him more every day. That's the kind of relationship that we enter into in baptism, and it never stops. God is continuously in relationship with us, even when we feel like he's not. I have a response for that too. I say it's not God who's walked away, but us. We're called to live a faithful life in the waters of baptism. So it's good from time to time to stop and take stock of this relationship that we're responding to. Ask the hard questions of yourself. Am I fully committed to serving God? Are my priorities God first and everything and everyone else second or below that relationship? I know some of you have heard me say this in a Bible study, but yes, my wife comes second to God. For without knowing the love that God gives me, I could not love her. And I would expect her to say the same thing to me. God is first. God always loves first. God acts first in our lives and we respond to it. That's what this is all about today. The beginning of a new relationship. Other things to ask hard questions of in your lifetime. Does my checkbook and giving record reflect my full commitment to God? Are there secret places in my life I don't want God, and certainly not anyone else, to know about? Are all my business practices and dealings above board and open for anyone to see? Now, your list of hard questions may be different from these, and that's okay. But it's important to ask them. And it's even more important to determine how your life is already answering these hard questions. To put it another way, in the context of today's text, how are you living out your baptism? Take the insert home, read through it. There's a covenant in there. How are you living out your baptism? In an address to Lutheran pastors at a conference, Donald Stupi spoke about how Luther viewed baptism as a daily source of strength and comfort for the Christians. He said this, "While we may recognize the blessings of baptism, we may not be fully aware of its value for our daily life. How often do we think about or make mention of our baptism?" I'm not sure I could say that it's even once a week. Are we making proper use of our baptism in our fight against sin? Does it bring us comfort in time of trouble? For Luther, a truly Christian life is nothing else than a daily baptism, once begun and ever to be continued. Therefore, let everybody regard his baptism as the daily garment which he or she is to wear all the time. Luther was not one to say, "I was baptized," but rather, "I am baptized." Our baptism may indeed be an act performed in the past, but its benefits and blessings are not confined to past or reserved for the future. The benefits are present now. People would say, does it really prepare us for anything? If you know the story of Jesus entering the wilderness, you would know the answer to that question, simply put, is yes. But let me remind you that at the insistence of the Holy Spirit, Jesus left his baptism to spend 40 days in the wilderness. Apart from his fasting and the temptations by Satan, we know little about how Jesus spent that time or about his thoughts during that time. Even apart from the physical deprivation, the mental and emotional stresses could have not been easy even for Jesus. A recent study at the University of Virginia showed that most people find being alone, even briefly, with their thoughts and with no other distractions such as smartphones, music, reading material, etc., very unpleasant. Think about it. How well do Lutherans like silence in their worship? And how long will you let me stand here and say nothing? Time's up. Gets awkward, doesn't it? Yeah, it sure does. We don't like being alone with ourselves. We don't like. But in those times when we are, we know that God is present with us. Most people seem to prefer to be doing something rather than nothing, even if that something is negative. But Jesus endured that time and surely used it well. No doubt he thought about the next years of public ministry, how he would deal with everything ahead of him, whom he would choose as his disciples. We can only imagine all the thoughts that were on his mind. And then Satan came when Jesus was hungry and thirsty and offered Jesus sinful shortcuts that would supposedly accomplish his mission. The devil offered simple shortcuts that would supposedly accomplish his goals. In this day of instant gratification, be very careful. Be very careful. As Christians, we ought to say, in God's time, not in our time. But Jesus held strong, and Jesus resisted each and every temptation. I wonder if he was thinking about his baptism during the wilderness experience. I wonder if he thought, my Father is well pleased with me. I am his beloved and I can do this. I am baptized. I wonder if he had any of those thoughts. I mean, I ask that simply because he wasn't just human, right? He was fully divine at the same time. Would he? Did he? We don't know. But what about you? Some of you may be at a high point in your life where everything is going very well. And I would say, praise God for your blessings. Remember your baptism and walk with God. Live each day in faithful obedience and grateful praise. Some of you may be at a low point where one thing after another is not going as you would like it to go. I say to you as well, praise God for your blessings and for His strength and His help as you go through any rough time. And remember, you are baptized. You are the beloved children of God. Live each day in faithful obedience, trusting in God, who is your help every day. Yeah, it's going to change the way your routine goes every day if you try this. But it'll be for the better. The point is this. In good times and hard times, in good health or in poor health, we walk with God and His beloved children. Seek always to please God first. Walk in faith, believing in the promises that Leo was promised today. And be prepared for anything. Remember your baptism. And remember to say, I am a baptized child of God. Amen.